Welcome to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church located at 107 Linden Drive in Waycross, Georgia. Our mission is to make disciples in Waycross, Ware County, Southeast Georgia, and the world beyond. We do that by teaching and doing our very best to live the truth of God on earth as it is in heaven and encouraging others along the way. The Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast can be heard Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on WASW 91.9 FM, American Family Radio. You are an important part of our ministry. Thank you for making us part of your Lord's Day celebration. Please stay tuned after the message for information on how you can receive a CD of the broadcast, a free subscription to our monthly magazine, or how to contact us if you have any questions about what you hear. Now, with the message, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Job. I would like to read from Job chapter 19. I encourage you to follow in the Word of God. Job chapter 19. Before we begin to try to read and study from God's Holy Word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we cannot thank you enough for all the blessings of life. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come together to worship thee this day. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have to be able to come. We thank you for those that have fought for freedom in days gone past and those who are still fighting for freedom. And we pray that you would help each of us in America to realize that we're quickly losing those freedoms, not from outside, but from within. So we ask you, Lord, to help us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, to rise up, stand up, and to speak out. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be mindful of all those who are sick and afflicted. We pray that thou, as the great physician who has all power, that you would touch them, strengthen them, heal them, and lift them up. Pray that you would bless those who have lost loved ones, that you would comfort their hearts. Lord, we know that you know the needs of every person here, each individual and each family, and we pray that you would bless each one of them. Bless us all, not according to what we deserve, but bless us according to thy mercy and thy grace. Again, now we pray thy blessings upon us as we try to study thy holy word. We pray that you would teach us and instruct us, and may thy word be as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord, and our Savior, the head of the church, King of kings and Lord of lords. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'd like to read now from Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19, beginning with verse 23, reading through verse 27. Job chapter 19, verses 23 through 27. The Word of God says that Job wrote these words. He says, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." Think about that. He got his request, didn't he? He wanted his words to be written down. He wanted people to remember what he was about to say. And God penned these words, and God preserved these words, and so we're able to read these words that Job wrote down after he says, "Oh, that they were written in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever." Here's what he says now. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. If correctly read, that's Job 19, verses 23 through 27. Job makes a statement in verse 25. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." He actually talks about three things that he says, "I know." Now, I want everybody here to understand that there are a lot of things I don't know. When it comes to me and me doing things, I cannot tell you anything for sure that I'm going to do in the future. Anything that depends on me and my strength, my understanding, I cannot tell you that I know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I cannot tell you what I'm going to do the rest of my life. I have a lot of things I don't know anything about. I don't know when the world is going to come to an end. I don't have any idea when that's going to happen. I don't know why a lot of things happen in the lives of God's children. I don't know why everything happens. God alone knows all those things. But there are some things that the Bible tells us, and the Bible says that we can know some things, and those things that God has said, I know those things are true because God said them. I know that God created this world. I know that's true because the Word of God tells us in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God did that. And I know God did it. And He did it without the help of man because He created the earth before man was ever created. He created the heaven and the earth. He created light. He created everything that we see all around us. God created the world. And I know that's true because the Word of God tells me so. Right here, Job makes this statement in Job chapter 19, verse 25. He says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." Job didn't say, "I know that I'll be alive tomorrow." He didn't say, "I know what I'm going to do in the future." Because, brethren, only a foolish man will say he knows what he's going to do or what he's going to think or what's going to happen in the future. Brethren, when God says something, I know it's true because God cannot lie. Right here, Job says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." His Redeemer was Jesus Christ. That is His Redeemer. He is our Redeemer, and that was His Redeemer. And even though His Redeemer had not yet been born of the Virgin Mary, His Redeemer was already alive. Job says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." I know that my Redeemer is alive because His Redeemer is the one who created this world. In the beginning, way back there in the beginning of this world, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, our Redeemer, the one and only one who has saved us from our sins, our Redeemer is alive. And I'm glad to tell you I know that my Redeemer is alive. I know that my Redeemer is alive because God is eternal and God cannot die. There's some things God cannot do. One of the things is God cannot lie. God cannot die. And Jesus is alive and He is eternal. He goes all the way back before the foundation of the world. He had no beginning and He'll have no end. My Redeemer is alive. The one who redeemed me from my sins 2,000 years ago and died on the cross of Calvary, He rose again on the third day, and my Redeemer is alive today. You ask me how I know He lives? Well, there are two main ways I know that He lives. One way I know is because the Bible tells me so. Another way I know that my Redeemer lives is because the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit that my Redeemer is alive and my Redeemer is alive in me. Christ is in me. not because of anything I've done, but Christ is in me and Christ is alive because of the power of God and because of the mercy of God and because of the grace of God. And the only reason I've been redeemed is because of God's love and mercy and grace. There's nothing about me that brought about my redemption. I wasn't good enough to be redeemed. I wasn't good enough to go to heaven. I wasn't good enough for God to love me. God is mercy, and in His grace, God chose me and predestinated me to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. And God sent His Son into the world, and Jesus died on the cross. My Redeemer died, but my Redeemer lives. He's alive. And I know, like Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I can say to you this morning, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that He lives. That's not all that he said he knows. I think this is wonderful. See, Job was going through some hell in his life right here. Job was going through some very, very difficult times. He says in verse 25, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Here's something else he knows. And that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. So he says, I know two things. I know that He's alive right now. That's what Job is saying in its present context. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer is alive. And I know that my Redeemer, the second expression here, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. My Redeemer's coming back. The one who died for me on the cross 2,000 years ago, my Redeemer. My Redeemer shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. My Redeemer, I'll tell you, brethren, I can tell you a lot more about my Redeemer than even Job declares here. I can tell you not only that my Redeemer is alive today, I can tell you that my Redeemer was alive before the foundation of the world. My Redeemer is alive forever. I know that my Redeemer not only redeemed me at Calvary, but I'm telling you, my Redeemer is still taking care of me every day of my life. My Redeemer is still helping me. My Redeemer is taking care of me. My Redeemer is alive. You know who's taking care of you every day of your life? You know who's helping you every day of your life? Do you know the only reason you're alive today is because your Redeemer took care of you last night? You didn't keep yourself awake. Those people that are in the hospitals, doctors didn't keep them alive. God's the one that kept them alive. My Redeemer's alive. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer shall stand. My Redeemer shall stand at the last day upon this earth. And then he makes a third statement in verse 26. He says, and though after my skin worms destroy this body. Did you know if Jesus puts off his coming, his final coming, if he puts it off very long, my skin worms and your skin worms are going to destroy your body. Your body's going to go right back to the dust of the earth. But I want you to know I know something about that. I don't know how people that don't know Jesus and don't know what the Word of God says, I don't know how they make it in this world. When we buried our son, I could not have buried his body if I didn't know what Job knows right here. I loved my son. But knowing that Jesus, first of all, knowing where he was as soon as he died, the very moment that someone dies, the spirit returns to God. That wasn't my son in that grave. It wasn't his, it was not my child. That was his body that he lived in. But that wasn't my son. My son went home to be with the Lord. The Bible tells us that when a child of God dies, the spirit immediately returns to God that gave it. Buried my daddy, and he's buried right. My son is buried right at the feet of where my daddy is buried. I'll tell you, when I buried my daddy, I couldn't have left that grave. I couldn't have put his body in the ground if I didn't believe what I know right here. And it would torment me to death to think about worms, skin worms, eating up this body if I thought that was my body, your body, the body of people I love. If I thought that was them being devoured and that was the end of them, I would go crazy. But I know that my Redeemer lives. And I know he shall stand at the last day upon the earth. And I know that after my skin worms destroy this body, he says, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. This body's going to go back to the dust of the earth, and yet I know that in my flesh, what? I shall see God. How can that be? Because God's going to raise this body. When Jesus, my Redeemer, when He died on the cross of Calvary, the Bible teaches us that He bought us, He redeemed us, body, soul, and spirit. My body was redeemed by Jesus Christ. Body, soul, and spirit. And though this body goes back to the dust of the earth, Jesus, the same one who took the dust of the ground and formed man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, that same one is going to raise these bodies, though they've gone back to the dust of the earth, or if they were buried at sea, or if they've been burned, it makes no difference. My Redeemer is going to raise these bodies of His people. Yeah. He's going to raise these bodies. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Isn't that wonderful? I'm going to see God one day. I know that I'm going to see God one day. Now, I'll tell you this. If I thought me seeing God in the final resurrection, if I thought me seeing God was based on my works, then I wouldn't know whether I'd ever see God or not. If I thought me seeing God one day was based on me holding on to God, I would have no assurance I would ever see God. If I thought me seeing God one day had anything to do with me doing something, I wouldn't have any assurance of what was going to happen. But because it's all in the hands of God and He's the one doing it all, I can say I know that in my flesh, in my body, I'm going to see God one day. If you know what's going to happen to America, would you please stand up? If you know what's going to happen to America, you don't know what's going to happen. I'm talking about the details. I don't know what's going to happen. I know this. Jesus is on His throne. Nothing is going to happen to America except what God says is going to happen to America. Nothing's going to happen to America until God says it's going to happen to America. And when God does bring His judgment on America, and He will, He will. When God brings His judgment on America, God is going to be with His people that are faithfully serving Him. I know that I don't have to worry about my children. A lot of people say, oh, I just don't want to have children. I don't want to bring them into this wicked world. I don't want my grandchildren to be in this wicked world. Well, if I didn't know my Redeemer lives, I couldn't either. But because my Redeemer's alive, I don't have any fear of this world and the things of the world and what people are going to do and what's going to happen in the world. It makes little or no difference because my Redeemer liveth. And my Redeemer can take care of me and He can take care of you. He can take care of us in the city of Waycross. He can take care of us no matter where we are on the face of this globe. He can take care of us out in the wilderness. Did He take care of the children of Israel out there in the wilderness? Did He feed them? Did He take care of them? Did He take care of Elijah and Elisha? Did He take care of Moses? Did He take care of Paul? Did He take care of Jesus? Did God the Father take care of Jesus when they kept wanting to kill Him? They kept wanting to kill Him. They couldn't touch Him. They couldn't touch Him until His appointed hour came. Are you worried about dying? Oh, don't be worried about dying. You're a child of God. If you love God today, it's because God first loved you. If you love God today, Jesus is your Redeemer. If you love God today, you don't have anything to worry about. And there's some things you can know. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know He's going to stand the last day upon this earth. And I know that in my flesh, I shall see my Redeemer. And there are a lot of other things I know. Only if the Bible tells me so. You listen to what I'm telling you. I don't know anything and you don't know anything except what God says is going to happen. Go with me in your Bibles. Turn quickly in your Bibles to the New Testament just a moment. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, Job, way back there in the Old Testament, did he know that even though his body was destroyed, he was still going to see God? Did he know that? Did Job know that? Back there in Job chapter 19, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know that I'm going to see God. Did you know that? Listen to what Paul writes, New Testament, 2 Corinthians. Look in your Bibles at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes. Very similar words to what Job wrote. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, writing to the church of God at Corinth, he says, for we, what's the next word there? For we what? No. Was Paul lying when he said we know something? Was Paul boasting when he said we know something? No. Was Paul saying I know something because I've been given some special revelation? No. He knew what he knew because God said it in his word. That's what he said, I know. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, somebody point to your earthly house of this tabernacle. Where is your earthly house? Of this, it's not the house you live in back home. Your earthly house of this tabernacle is your body. What is it? It's a house. You live in that house, but it's a house. But it's a house that has been bought by God. And when you die, you're going home to be with the Lord. One day, Jesus is going to come back. He's going to lift up that house. He's going to take that house home to be in another house. Okay? We know, 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. How did Job express that? Though after my skin worms, what? Devour, destroy this body. He says, we know that if this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You hear that? I've got this house. This is a corruptible house. This flesh is a corruptible house. This flesh is going to go back to the dust of the earth. One day, this flesh is going to be raised from the dust of the earth. And on that day, this flesh, this corruptible, is going to put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. This vile body is going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. But I want you to know that when you die, that's not the end of you. Though this house may go to the grave, I have a house eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. You know who made that house eternal in the heavens? Isn't that wonderful? That God, Jesus, made that house eternal in the heavens. Do you know you've got that house? You see, right now I live in a home out on Acock Road. That house may burn to the ground. Can I be calm if that happens? Should I be calm if that happens? I should be calm because that's not my real house. You understand? And my body's my house, but this body, I may lose an arm or a leg. I may lose several parts of my body before I die. It's all right. It's okay. Because I've got another house. I've got a home eternal in the heavens. And I know that because the Bible tells me so. I know it because the Bible tells me so. I don't know it because I'm smart. I don't know it because I dreamed it up. I know it because God said it. Now, I find great joy in this wicked and perverse nation. I find great peace in laying hold on to some things I know. And Job's life was in as big a turmoil as anybody's life had ever been in when he said, I know something. He was just latching hope to an anchor right there. He's saying, I'll tell you what. I've lost my possessions. I've lost all 10 of my children. My wife has said, curse God and die. All of my friends are making false accusations against me. I don't have anything left except I know that my Redeemer lives. That's all you need. That's all you need. Know that. Know that if this earthly house is dissolved, you have a house eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. Go into 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Here's the Apostle Paul again talking about something he knows. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. And again, I want to emphasize that Paul is never boasting. Paul is never saying, I know anything except what God has told him. That's what he knows. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul writes to the young preacher Timothy, and he says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." Did Paul know a lot about suffering? Do you remember what we studied last week about Sunday morning and Sunday night? We studied a lot about suffering. He says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed." I'm not ashamed. You could insert a lot of other things there. I'm not frustrated. I'm not worried. He says, I'm not ashamed to suffer for Christ's sake. They can say what they want to. It doesn't bother me. I'm not ashamed. He says, "I have suffered. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know," listen carefully, I know whom I have believed. Who is that pronoun whom? Who is that referring to? I know whom I have believed. Who is that? That's God, Christ, Jesus, yes. I know God, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto His trust. You believe God can take care of your daughters, Brother Travis, you believe? You know, that's two of the most precious girls on the face of this earth. Did y'all know that? Now, I think the same of all you young ladies in the congregation, but I want you to know, those are two girls that God's got a hedge around. Got a special hedge around them. That gives Brother Travis some peace in his soul, doesn't it? To know that God's in control. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. He can take care of my children. He can take care of my grandchildren. I've got a granddaughter that's just starting to learn how to drive. Kylie, amazing. A little scary. If you don't think so, you take her out and try to teach her. I've been with her. Let me tell you something. I'm not worried about me dying and my grandchildren or children getting all messed up in their lives, because I know whom I believed. What about you, Brother Derek? Are you worried about Tristan? Not worried about Tristan. Who's going to take care of Tristan? What's going to happen to Tristan? You can drive yourself crazy trying to figure out what's going to happen in this world and what's going to happen to these children and grandchildren if you don't know. If you don't know your Redeemer lives, if you don't know that God is in control, if you don't know Him, if you don't know Him and you've not committed all things unto Him, Paul says here, I know whom I believed. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. God's able to take care of Tristan. God's able to take care of every one of you. Be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you. We're not near through with studying, because you need to know more things than what I've already told you. And the Bible tells you a lot more things that the Bible says, I know. Now listen, you listen carefully. If you tell me that you can't know anything, you're denying God's Word. Because God's Word says there are some things I can know. A lot of things I don't know. But I know some things because God has said some things, and God cannot lie. Let me just say this in closing. I want you to listen carefully. There's a little song that children sing, and that song expresses some of the greatest truth that has ever been. Jesus loves me. This I know. You hear that? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Isn't it wonderful that to know that Jesus loves you and that nothing can separate you from the love of God, that you are preserved in Christ Jesus, that you're kept by the power of God? I think maybe that's what we need to sing, is Jesus loves me. This I know.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast. We hope you have enjoyed and were blessed by the first message. Now, on to the second message for today, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
Have your Bibles. I'd like to ask you to please turn to 1 John. Right at the end of the New Testament, you have three little books, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And in 1 John, the Word of God tells us some more things that we can know. We began studying this morning about there are some things we do not know. There are a lot of things that we don't know. There are times that we think we know something that we do not know. There are a lot of things that we have known that we have forgotten. There are some things that we can know, and then there are some things that we cannot know. There are some things that are hidden, that God has not revealed. We cannot know them because God has hidden those things from us. The Bible specifically says that we know not what we ought to pray for. There are some times in our lives that we think we know what to pray for, and I know of one particular instance in my life that I prayed as fervently as I've ever prayed in my life, and others were praying and on their knees most of the night that night. And God spared a person's life that the nurses and the doctors had said that they were going to die that night. And God spared that person's life. And as I look back, I think that that person and all that person's family, everybody connected, would have been better off if the Lord had just taken them home that night. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't know what to pray for as we ought. That's the reason when we pray, we ought to, from our hearts, pray and say, "Not my will, but thine be done." That was not my earnest prayer that night, was "Thy will be done." My earnest prayer was, "Spare this woman's life." You understand? We don't know what to pray for as we ought. The Bible also says something else we don't know. It says, "We know not what shall be on the morrow." James chapter 4 and verse 14 says, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We know not what shall be on the morrow. So we don't know what's going to be happening tomorrow. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. There's some things we don't know. But tonight, again, I want us to concentrate on the things that the Bible says that we can know. Because I find great strength, I find comfort, I find great joy, I find the ability to go on in my life when I can hold on to some things that I know, those truths that I know, they are an anchor for my soul. Doesn't matter what's going on in life, if I've got some things that I know because God has told me those things, that's the only things I really know, is things that God has said. But when God has told me something, that gives me great assurance and great peace in my soul. So we need to thank God that there are a lot of things we know. Job said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." We studied that earlier. The Apostle Paul said, "We know that if this earthly house is dissolved, we have a home eternal in the heavens, not made with hands." So that's a great blessing to know that. The Word of God tells us that Paul said, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So there are a lot of things we know. Tonight we're going to begin by looking at 1 John. If you will, look in your Bibles at 1 John chapter 2. Now, this passage of Scripture in 1 John chapter 2 is going to talk about some things we can know, and then it's going to talk about people who say that they know something, but they do not know what they say they know. Have you ever known anybody like that? I would say that most people think they know a lot more than they really know. I think most people, even when it comes to God's Word, I think that most people think that they know a lot more than they know. Sometimes they add to the Word of God. Sometimes they take away from the Word of God. Sometimes they come up with things. I don't know where in the world they got it from, but it certainly didn't come out of the Word of God. So some things that people think they know, they don't know at all. It's not even truth. 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. The Word of God says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Now, this is a conditional knowledge. If you keep the commandments of God, while you are keeping the commandments of God, while you are walking in the light as he is in the light, while you're doing that, you can know God. That's one of the greatest blessings in the world, not just to know some things God has said, but to get right down to the fact that you can know God, to know him. John 17, Jesus tells us in the third verse there that this is life eternal, that they might know thee, to know God, to know Jesus Christ. To know God is eternal life. It's life eternal, to really know them. And the Bible says here now, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Can you think you know him but not know him? There are a lot of things I think I know that I don't know. I remember when Kylie started working in some advanced math, and she said, do you know algebra? I said, oh, yes, I know algebra, and I know trigonometry. Well, I thought I knew algebra and trigonometry, but it's been so long ago, I don't know it anymore. I studied Latin in high school and was blessed to learn Latin right well, but I don't know Latin like I used to. You can forget things that you once knew. There are people who say that they know God and they do not know God at all. The God that they know is not the God of the Bible. People who tell you that they know God is leading them, but the way they're going is contrary to the Word of God. They don't know God. They really don't know God. A person can think he knows God, but does not know God. You only know God if you're keeping his commandments. Hereby we do know that we know him. Now, Daddy used to say, there's some things I think. Then he said, there's some things I know. And then he says, there's some things I know that I know. Well, that's what this is talking about here. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. If we're walking in the light, then we know God. We have fellowship with God. But if we're not walking in the light, look at the next verse now. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 4. The Word of God says, he that saith, I know him. Now, can people say they know God and not know God? Mm-hmm. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So children of God, I think, can think that they know God, but if they're walking contrary to God's word and God's way, they do not have an intimate knowledge of God. They don't know God. They don't really have fellowship with God, though they might think they're just as close to God as they've ever been in their lives. All of us have worked with people who have gone astray, and they will tell you, I'm just as close to God as I've ever been. Doesn't matter that they're walking in very ungodly ways. They're deceived. They're lying when they say that they know God and they're just as close to God as they've ever been. He that saith, verse 4 says, he that saith, I know God, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5 says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. If we are doing what? If we're keeping his commandments. I know God right now. I think if I'm not deceived, I know God. I know God, like Job said this morning, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Right now, I think I know my Redeemer lives. I know that he's my shepherd. I know that he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. I know God is the head of the church. One of the men called for us to sing tonight, Christ is all. Brethren, Christ is all. He's all in all. And while we were singing that song, it made me remember that Christ is everything that we need. He is our all in all. God is our exceeding great reward. Knowing God is a great blessing. And the only way we're going to know God, the only way we know that we know him, is if we're keeping his commandments. Now look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Here's something else that you can know besides knowing God. Listen to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. The Word of God says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. We're already the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. How many of you think you know what heaven's like? If I were to just stop right now and say, I want you to stand up and tell me everything you know about eternal heaven. Tell me everything you know that it's going to be like. Did you know you could send out a survey all over the United States to all the churches, and if everybody would fill it out, you would have more confusion about what heaven is going to be like than anything you can comprehend. Because there are a lot of people who think they know what eternal heaven is going to be like, and they know nothing at all. And you and I, if you think you know a lot about eternal heaven, you don't know much. Because the Bible doesn't tell us much about eternal heaven. But there's some things it does tell us, and those things that God tells us about eternal heaven, those are the things that we know. And everything else is made up by men, and we ought not to be repeating or believing such things as that. He says, beloved, this is 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Do you know what you're going to be like in every way when you get to heaven? I don't know everything about it, but I know this. Here's what he says. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now I know that when Jesus comes back and takes us to glory, we're going to be like him. I know that. How do you know that? Because the Word of God tells me so. The Bible says that we have been predestinated. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 tells us that we have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. I'm going to be made like him. I'm going to be made pure. I'm going to be made holy. I'm going to be made righteous. I'm going to be completely without sin. As long as I live in this body, brethren, I am not without sin. As long as I live in this body, I sin and come short of the glory of God. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, speaking about himself, while he was an apostle, while he was following God in many ways and serving God and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul made this statement about himself. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. Not that he was. He was a wretched man, but he was still a wretched man. You know what the difference is in now and glory? When I get to heaven, I'm going to be like him. Now, that's good to know. It's good to know that I'm not going to have to wrestle with this flesh anymore. It's good to know that I'm going to be absolutely perfect when I get to heaven. I'm going to be just like Jesus. Now, what is all that like? I don't know. Doesn't matter. If I'm like Jesus, that's perfect. I don't have to explain everything about it. All I have to say is what God's Word says. And when I start going beyond that, then I'm telling you things that I think, but I don't know. All the Scripture says here in 1 John 3 and verse 2 is that we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know, one of the things about Jesus, think about this just a moment when we're talking about us being like him. Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Right now, that's not my only desire, is just to do the will of him that sent me. The will of God, I mean. Sometimes I want to do the will of God, but I don't just always want to do the will of God. But I'm going to be changed in the final resurrection. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be just like Jesus in that I just want to do what God wants me to do. Don't you take that wording, spit that out. Don't you ever say you want to do what God wants you to do. The Bible never talks about God wanting you to do anything. Well, back up and start over. When we get to heaven, we're going to do just what God declares we should do. And we're going to be happy doing it too. I don't know what we're going to be doing up there. That song, will I fall at his feet, or will I stand in his presence, or will I shout with joy, or will I be so amazed I'll just be quiet? I don't know what I'll do. That songwriter knew something. He knew he didn't know what he was going to be like. But he knew enough about the truth that he's going to be like Jesus. And that's all I need to know. The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I know. That's all I need to know. Now, look at 1 John chapter 3. Here's a beautiful scripture, something we can know. I am very, very thankful to tell you tonight that you can know whether or not you're a child of God. Everybody here, you can know whether or not you're a child of God. You can know you're a child. Listen, you can know that you're a child of God because the Bible tells you how to know if you're a child of God. You can know if you've been born again because the Bible tells you how to know if you've been born again. Look in your Bible at 1 John. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. The Bible says in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. That's being born again. We have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We know that we have passed from death unto life. How can you know whether or not you've been passed from death unto life? If you love the brethren, that's an unmistakable evidence that you've been born again. The only people who love God, 1 John 4:19, same page says, we love Him because He first loved us. And then 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And then Jesus makes this statement in John 13:35. Jesus says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another. So we love God because He first loved us. The only reason we love the brethren is because we've already been born again. And other people know that we've been born again and that we're disciples of Jesus is if we're keeping His commandments and following Jesus and loving the brethren. Are you glad to know that you're a child of God? To really know. Now, look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13, the Word of God tells us something else we can know. 1 John 4 and verse 13 says, hereby know we that we dwell in Him. Can you know that you dwell in Christ? That you're living in, you're alive in Christ. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us because He hath given us of His Spirit. Have you ever felt the Spirit of God in you? You ever felt Christ in you, the hope of glory? Well, that's a way you can know. The Scripture says here, we know that we dwell in Christ because God has given us of His Spirit. Go with me back in your Bibles to John chapter 9. When it comes to knowing and not knowing things, I think this is the clearest example of people saying they know something they don't know, and people not knowing something, or at least saying they don't know something, and then people really knowing something. In fact, in John chapter 9, this is where the Word of God tells us about Jesus healing that child, the man, really. He was a man that was born blind, and here he is now a man, and Jesus comes and heals that man of his blindness. And then the Pharisees began to argue about what brought about this man being healed of being blind. Look at the Scripture now in John 9, starting in verse 18. The Pharisees are questioning, how did this man stop being blind? And there are going to be six times in the next five verses, there are going to be six times where people say, I know something, and others are going to say, I don't know. And then some are going to say, I know something, but they don't know at all what they're talking about. John chapter 9, starting with verse 18, the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, they asked the parents, that is the Pharisees, asked the parents of the man, they asked him, saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. Now, were they right in what they just said? We know that this is our son. Could they really know that? Mm-hmm. Yes. We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. Could they know that he was their son? And could they know that he was born blind? They knew those two things. Verse 21 says, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. We don't know how he can see right now. He's going to explain why they said that in a minute. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him, and he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Now listen. Then again call they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know, this is the Pharisees talking right here. The Pharisees said, we know that this man is a sinner. Talking about Jesus. What did they say they knew about Jesus? They said, we know that this man's a sinner. Was that true or false? It was false. Were they wrong about what they thought they knew? Do you think they were really convinced that they were absolutely sure beyond any shadow of a doubt that Jesus was a sinner in their own hearts and minds? I think they were absolutely sure. But they were wrong. We know that this man is a sinner. That was an untruth. Now listen to verse 25. Beautiful expression here about the man that was blind who could now see because of the power of Jesus. He answered after those Pharisees had said, we know that this man's a sinner, Jesus is a sinner. This man said, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. In other words, he didn't fully understand for sure who Jesus was. He couldn't say for sure whether Jesus was a sinner or not. He wasn't arguing the theology. He said, I can tell you one thing I do know, though. He says, and listen again to verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Isn't that wonderful? He had been blind and now he could see. Did the man know that that was a fact? Yes, sir, he did know that. All over this congregation, do you know that Jesus has come to you and touched you in some way, just like he came to this man and opened his eyes? How many of you know that Jesus has opened your eyes to some truth that's in the Scriptures? How many of you know that you have been blind to many things and then Jesus has come and opened your eyes? Well, now, you know, if this man who was given natural sight, if he could rejoice in what God has shown him, you and I as the people of God, we ought to be just as happy going around saying, let me tell you something I know. Let me tell you something I learned. Did you know that if the people of God, as they go to the house of God and they hear the word of God and if they buy the truth and they listen to the truth and it's a part of their lives and they remember where the Scriptures are and they go out and they tell others, they can share wonderful truth that they can say, here's something I know. Here's something I learned at church yesterday. Here's something that is beautiful in the word of God. You understand? And others can rejoice in what you know as you share that with them. Let me just say this in closing. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, one of the most beautiful scriptures in all the Bible, you all know it, so does just about anybody else that's ever heard any scripture in the Word of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Isn't that a great truth to know? And no matter what happens in your life, you need to hold on to what you know. You need to be able to say in the midst of all kinds of trouble like Job did, you need to be able to say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. You need to say like the Apostle Paul, if this earthly house is dissolved, I know I've got a home eternal in the heaven. In heaven is not made with hands. You need to be able to say, I know that Jesus can keep that which I've committed unto Him. You need to be able to say, I know God if I'm walking in the light. You need to be able to say, I don't know for sure about what heaven's going to be like, but I know I'm going to be like Him. And that's all I need to know. I'm going to be like Jesus. You need to be able to say, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. We know that. I know that I'm a born-again child of God because I love the brethren. We ought to be able to say, like that blind man after he had been healed, we ought to say, one thing I know. And I can tell you, I can talk to you a lot about the miracles that Jesus did in the Bible, but I can talk to you a lot more personally about the miracles that Jesus has done in my life. Jesus has done all kinds of miracles in my life. I'm talking about both spiritually and physically. Jesus has done great miracles in my life. And all over this congregation, Jesus has helped you. and you can say like this man that had been healed of his blindness, one thing I know, Jesus has been good to me. Jesus saved me from my sins at Calvary. Jesus quickened me and made me alive. Jesus has guided me and helped me. Jesus has lifted me up out of the valley when I've been depressed. Jesus has brought me out of the wilderness. When I was like the prodigal son out there in the hog pen, Jesus lifted me up and brought me home. And my father welcomed me with open arms. And the father rejoiced when I came home. Even if nobody else rejoiced, my father rejoiced. What do you know? The Bible's full of things, you know. May God help us to think about what we know and stop making up things we don't know anything about, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to The Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, located at 107 Linden Drive in Waycross, Georgia. Find us on your radio Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on 91.9 FM, WASW, American Family Radio. We are committed to helping every child of God grow in their Christian walk with the Lord. If you would like a free subscription to our monthly magazine or a CD of the broadcast you just heard, please write us at The Trumpet of Truth, 655 Acock Road, Waycross, Georgia, 31503, or call us 912-285-9193. Lord willing, join us next Sunday, and until then, let's blow the trumpet in Zion. We now rejoin American Family Radio.